You're listening to The Midday Grind with Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Chuck, take it in. Listen. John Hughes movie, probably was written for the movie, Pretty in Pink.
Another Pretty in Pink song? You love that movie, huh?
No. Do we have multiple ones? No.
I mentioned it
because I was talking about this band, the Psychedelic Furs, coming to St. Louis.
Do you have a business interest in this band?
No. Anytime I send somebody, I'm like, Charlie, we should do something with Vachon. Why? You getting paid by Vachon? I'm like, no. I think it's a great story. Go cover Tony Irons. I'm like, oh, Psychedelic Furs are coming to town. He's like, oh, you getting paid by them? I'm like, no, I'm just.
First of all, I've been at like 8 or 9 Vachon games this year. Vachon's a great team.
Right, that's the point.
I've just never heard of the Psychedelic Furs.
Which is totally different from Vachon, but.
You brought it up.
No, I know, but I'm saying there is no correlation and there is nothing getting paid. What it is Chris Gardner, our producer, paying attention. Last week I said, would it kill us to have a little Psychedelic Furs? And you said, name their songs. And then I go, there's that one, then there's that other one. And then I got in the car, I'm like, oh, Mirror Moves, Ghost in You, Love My Way, Heartbreak Beat, Pretty in Pink. Then I could rattle them all off.
And then Music Guy texted in, you guys don't know anything. Their best album was their old stuff.
Yeah, no, you got to like the old stuff. In fact, I only listened to them on vinyl.
Before they got commercial and sold out.
Well, when they changed producers, they started mixing differently in the recording studio. The Midday Grind, back on the all-new 590 The Fan, Martin Kilcoyne and Charlie Marlowe, and Charlie Tuna texted me, too, said the whole city is like Ferguson.
Speaking of Ferguson, you guys just looked at me with disdain. According to Google Maps, if you just type Ferguson, Missouri to St. Louis, Missouri, I'm getting 21 minutes. Okay, I said 30. First of all, if you drive anywhere in St. Louis, I've driven to every high school in the bi-state area.
Just to work out.
8 times to work out and also cover high school sports. You have to allot yourself about 25 minutes to get anywhere. So when I said 30 minutes, you looked at me like I was some numbskull.
Well, we give you that look often, Charles.
12 miles, though, is not 12 minutes in St. Louis. It might take you 8 minutes to get on the exit. Then you can get on 70 and go really fast. And then you have to get to your destination. You have to give yourself about 25 minutes to get almost anywhere in St. Louis, unless you're going one borough to the next.
But Ferguson is easily accessible from Highway 70. And Highway 70 is right downtown. The only reason I scoffed, I'm not Rand McNally. I scoffed because you said 30 minutes.
I like to get there early and get my camera set up, my tripod and all that. That takes 30 minutes.
And get a little flex going. But Ferguson, best high school gym to work out.
That's McClure South Berkeley.
Yeah, they got that great. Aeneas has got his church
I'm
over there.
You, I've been to them all.
That's the newest school over there.
This guy, he doesn't get out. He's the anchor guy in studio. I'm the one hitting the streets.
I was at McClure South Berkeley before they played in the state semifinals. I was over there with Coach, the great coach over there that's been there for a while.
Football coach, yeah.
The football coach has done a great job.
See, this is what he does. Martin goes out and does the story, and he talks about it for like the next 7 months.
And if they say in the soundbite, well, Martin, Charlie's like, dude, what soundbite are you using? Is it the one where he says your name?
Yep.
You do that. No, you do that sometimes just because you want the audience to know that you were there
and
that you care.
Kilcoyne cares.
Kevin Harlan, 6-minute interview yesterday, never once dropped it. I thought he would be that guy. Martin, let me tell you about the Green Bay Packers. Let me tell you about the Cardinals.
You guys had a nice rapport, though. You knew his high school classmate?
Well, my cousin Sam. We had a great conversation off air yesterday. His brother, Brian Harlan, was the Bears PR director. And then he got into being a PR guy for coaches. So he had Ron Rivera. So during the 2006 Rams coaching search, the final three candidates were Scott Linehan, Cam Cameron, and Ron Rivera. So I had Harlan's cell phone, Brian Harlan, and I talked to him a bunch of times about the process and where it was headed. So Kevin told me yesterday that Brian now has Urban Meyer. He has Jim Harbaugh. John Harbaugh, so he's a major player in terms of the coaching world as an agent. So we had a nice visit about that, Charlie. It's all about
that's an interesting sports family. Great broadcaster. You have the SID. You have an agent. Good stories at Thanksgiving.
And he told the story. The reason he was living in St. Louis, and then the family moved to Green Bay. His dad was the Brian Bartow of the Cardinals, and had worked there for what, maybe 10 years. During the late 60s, they win the World Series. He said he still wears his World Series ring. And Dan Devine left Mizzou to go to Green Bay to coach the Packers. Dan Devine called over to Bing Devine, no relation, who was an executive for the Cardinals, and said, I'm going up to Green Bay. I got to get this thing turned around, get it up and running. What should I do? Who should I bring? And Bing Devine said, you should take this Bob Harlan and have him on your staff, and he'll help you get things in ship shape. And lo and behold, Bob Harlan ends up becoming the president of the Green Bay Packers. Now that, young Charles, is what you call a good story.
Text line, Hunchback of Vaughn Castle, Charlie should start doing his pregame live reports in the gym doing deadlifts.
We could probably get that sponsored.
Yeah, too bad we don't have the superior road system of Toledo, you outsider. That's from the Catfish.
The only thing I scoffed at was the 30 minutes, because I think of Ferguson as being relatively accessible from downtown St. Louis. You think that's fair?
All I'm saying is St. Louis, everywhere you go, it's like 20 minutes. Even if it's 12 miles, it ends up being 25 minutes.
Unless you live in Wentzville.
It just depends on if you're talking about a highway trip or, like you saying, getting into the city,
I was riding a bike.
Your high school, wherever you're going.
I was on a unicycle.
Okay, I'm just saying from Busch Stadium to Wentzville, where I live, it's like 38 minutes normally. So,
no, it's 20. Chuck says it's 20.
Let me tell you this. If I drive...
I got to go to Quincy. 20 minutes.
If I drive out here to St. Charles in the morning for the morning after, sometimes you have to lot yourself 40 minutes.
Yes.
For 270 traffic. Now, if I drive at this time of day to get to the midday grind, 12 to 3, I can get here in 20 minutes easy.
Do you stop off at a middle school just to get a quick cardio?
A little cardio sesh.
Real quick cardio on the way in. How weird was it last night? The Blues game, hearing Kroenke sucks. And I thought, oh, that's all the Blues fans that are there. Because there were a lot of Blues fans at that game in Denver. It was kind of weird. And I'm like, no. Those are actually Avalanche fans who can't take it anymore.
Everybody hates them.
If you look at the standings, it's not that the Lanch are the worst team in hockey. It's that they're the worst team in hockey by far. It's not even close.
37 points, I believe.
And so I made a joke. I think they've lost like 12 or 13, something horrible. And the Lanch, I mean, that was always a proud franchise, even a couple of years ago.
They won the division, remember, on the
Patrick
last
Wah.
Day of the season against the Blues. They took it from the Blues.
Worst team in hockey. The Rams are one of the worst franchises in the NFL. That's fair. So I made a joke on Twitter and said, I'm beginning to wonder what's easier, beating a Stan Kroenke-owned sports team or making a joke about it. And people that were Arsenal fans started chiming in saying, did you see our game with Liverpool the other day? I'm like, actually, I recorded it. Don't ruin it for me. Don't give away the ending. It's phenomenal. And Frank played the Carly Simon tribute to Enos this morning that said, nobody does it better. And talking about being just the worst owner. And I have to give Charlie credit, because several years ago, and it wasn't, you know.
Charlie, me?
Yeah. It wasn't like you were splitting the atom. But you did say most sports owners have the teams. All they want to do is win. They don't care if they make any money. All they want, like Mark Cuban, George Steinbrenner, these guys. And yes, they were businessmen.
Jerry Jones.
They just want to win so bad. They just love that team. All they care about, oh, they got to win. What are we going to do to win? Who's playing second base? Bill DeWitt has plenty of money. Could he make more money? I guess. But in the morning, he's thinking, I hope Colton is ready for the job. You know, he's thinking about the team. And Stan Kroenke is thinking about his spreadsheets. Like, well, Arsenal, they're up $100 million in profits. Let's take $50 million of that and move it over to the Kroenke Sports Group, which is what they do every year. And it's the reason the fans in London hate that whole franchise, owned the ownership group, rather.
That's why, in a way, I don't want to say I feel bad for Stan Kroenke, because I don't. But if you have a mentality like that, where all you care about is the Forbes list and catching whoever it is, Bill Gates or whoever is ahead of you, that's kind of a sad life. I'm sorry. If greed drives you that much, that you're like Scrooge McDuck, where you can't even have fun. Like, isn't he about 7 years old?
Scrooge McDuck.
Like, at this point in your life, how much more money do you need before you die? Wouldn't you want to enjoy your life, fly around your private jets and watch your teams win. And who cares if you die with $8 billion or $6 billion? I mean, your kids are going to get a lot of money anyway. It's sad to me that he does look at sports, which is so fun for so many people, and he doesn't seem to get that enjoyment out of it because he clearly doesn't care if his teams win. It's all about making money.
But what is it that's consistent about his teams that they're all bad? Isn't that crazy? Wouldn't you stumble into a good coach, a good GM? You'd stumble into a winning player. He did buy the Avalanche. They won the Cup the next year right after he took over. He was the minority owner when the Rams won the Super Bowl. But for the most part, you look at his sports properties now, they all either underachieve or they're bad. How is it even possible? Wouldn't you like, okay, Demoff's an idiot. Rams are going to be bad for a while. He misread the situation. Goff's bad. I misread. But boy, my Nuggets are really crushing it. Boy, my Lanch are really. Boy, my. How is it possible? Is it? And they'll spend money. Gave Jeff Fisher a ton of money. Gave George Karl a ton of money. So they will spend money. It's not just that. Is he just inept?
Yes.
Inept as a sports.
Yes, in
owner.
Terms of
putting
the
right people in charge
on the field. And that's why. Look, we've all made fun of Kevin Demoff. That's very well documented. And you know what?
Some bad. A little more than others.
Well, apparently. No, we've all done that. And you know what? You can absolutely attack those guys for their on-field product. It's been horrible. They're bad at running an organization. But you know what? They moved from St. Louis, where the valuation was about $1.5 billion, and it doubled the second they got to L.A. to $3 billion. So as a business group,
absolutely,
they're great at it. And the second that stadium's built, it's probably going to be a $4 billion franchise. So, you know, they can laugh at us laughing at them, but they're laughing their way to the bank.
So they're laughing while we're laughing, but they're laughing that we're laughing.
We're laughing at their on-field product. They're laughing when they get
all the
paychecks.
Way to the bank. Switching gears, let's talk a little MLS. And the president of the LA Galaxy is a St. Louis guy, Chris Klein, and he joins us now on 590 The Fan. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. I'm feeling a little like I'm set up, the St. Louis guy that's living in L.A.
No, but. You know, it honestly,
that was an accident.
I was thinking as we were talking, this is going to be awkward for Chris because he's the L.A. guy. And I'm like, no, this is not. We were doing a quick Blues thought, and they beat the Avalanche last night, and the crowd was chanting Kroenke sucks, so we got off on a tangent, which we've been known to do. Mm-hmm. But you're about to get into the NFL business in a sort of way. Your stadium there, the StubHub Center, where your Galaxy team plays, how did that all come about? The Chargers obviously be playing there the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, this is a discussion that's been going on for some time, as you guys know very well. When the NFL was deciding about the Rams and the Chargers and the Raiders coming here, Carson, where our stadium was the other site, and so. When it didn't happen, the Chargers weren't able to get their stadium done, and they've literally looked all throughout L.A., and the choices are few. It was us. It was a Coliseum, again, sharing with the Rams and USC, and it was the Rose Bowl, which for a variety of reasons, they're not allowed to have that many events. And so it became more serious here. We've been very involved with them, and I think it's going to be a great atmosphere. We're happy to have them. I think there are some current concerns from a Galaxy standpoint, but certainly a net positive for everyone with the Chargers coming here.
And give our audience here an idea. Carson in relation to downtown L.A. because
10 miles.
10 miles. Okay. But what? And so in a car in L.A., what is that, an hour and a half?
it takes a couple hours. No, it actually, we have some of our offices downtown. It takes 15 minutes.
And Chris,
it's just down the 110.
Okay. Well, the MLS conversation is heating up in St. Louis. Big vote about a month from now. Just last week, in fact, Bruce Arena was in town. It wasn't just to pump up the MLS brand, but we sort of turned it into that. That's your former coach, by the way, Bruce Arena.
Yeah.
Hugely successful in the league. What are you hearing as far as buzz about St. Louis? Certainly the vote is a big step forward with the stadium, but in your job as president of the Galaxy, what are you hearing?
Well, I mean, both. In my job and also very involved at the league level with various committees. And I mean, even before this started and even before this group was put together, the question was always, why doesn't St. Louis have a team? And it was only a matter of time until St. Louis got a franchise. But since then, that was just based on the city and on the great history that we all have in soccer and the energy that surrounds it when exhibitions come there, when national team games come there. But even more so with this group, with the ownership group, with Paul and Jim and that and those guys. I mean, you hear nothing but positives, and I believe, as I've said before, that this will be a home run for the city. It'll be a home run for our league, and it's in the right place as you look at the league as a whole and where we need teams and rivalries with Chicago and Kansas City and the stadium plan and the ownership group. It will just be just a fantastic thing. So nothing but excitement. Obviously, we have the vote coming up in a month, and everyone's waiting anxiously for that.
And Chris, talking about that vote, how would you sell St. Louis residents on why this is good for them? Obviously, you have the MLS schedule, potential international games and NCAA events, but if they're thinking, hey, our tax dollars that could go towards education or law enforcement, why do you think this is a good idea for them?
Well, I mean, I could just speak from the sports perspective of our league and how it's growing. We're still 22 years old, and the one thing that I can say is MLS, and I know other sports have this too, and but it has a way of bringing communities together like no other sport that I've seen, and our players really are invested in the community. And when you think of a stadium, the size that the stadium's going to be, and you think of the area that it's going to be in, the revenue and the jobs and all of those things, I'm sure can be talked about by someone better than I, but bringing a community together the way that our sport has, a world sport in your city, I don't think that you can go wrong.
When did it turn? When did you know, the MLS become even bigger, where they said, we can start expanding, we can really grow this thing? Mm-hmm. Is it 5 years ago, 10 years ago? When did you see it shifting?
You really started, you know, you talk about St. Louis and expansion, and, you know, you saw a big shift when we signed David Beckham, and you saw it kind of get on the world stage. But when it really turbocharged was with expansion. And if you look at what our league has done very well, is we've done expansion well. Look at Seattle. I mean, they open and they have, you know, 50,000 fans a game. Portland, they have a waiting list of 13,000 people. New stadium in Kansas City. All these things happen in the past, you know, five to 6 years, and it's taken us to a new level. We had two games this weekend. Atlanta opened in their inaugural season, 55,000 people. It was sold out. They have over 30,000 season ticket holders. Orlando City opened a new beautiful stadium, 25,000 people. So now you're getting, not only are you getting the league that's successful and players wanting to come here and the quality getting better, but having your own stadium to play in has changed our game. And once we figured that part out, and doing it in locations that mattered, not just where we could get it done, that's when you really saw our league take a massive leap forward.
And as a guy who played the game his whole life, you go from DeSmet to Indiana, then you play in the MLS. Was there a frustration that, boy, everybody in America at some point plays soccer? There's plenty of big-time programs, but you're waiting for it to get over the hump and kind of get that ESPN attention that it's now starting to get. Was there frustration along the way that the national or the pro sport wasn't getting the attention?
No, I don't. It's not frustration. Everyone that works or plays or is a part of our sport has a great reality that we all have to build this together. So we need ESPN. We need Fox. We need Univision. We need them bought in to this, and we have to be partners with them to build this with them because, you know, we're not the NFL yet. We're not the NBA. We're not even Major League Baseball or the NHL, but we are. I mean, we're 22nd year, and we're having the conversations that we're having. When Mr. Anschutz bought into our league, he bought in a franchise for $5 million. Now, not only is the price tag north of $150 million, but you have 12 teams, 12 cities with real bids that are waiting. And hoping, St. Louis being one of them, hoping that they are chosen as the next expansion franchise. So when you look at the totality of that and you look at where we are in the life cycle of our league, I'm thankful where we're at and think it's only the beginning for us.
Talking with Chris Klein, president of the LA Galaxy on 590 The Fan, the Midday Grind, Charlie Marlowe and Martin Kilcoyne. when you're talking about watching pro sports in the United States, Major League Baseball, hockey, NBA, it seems like with soccer, it's kind of an odd situation because so many people watch the Premier League on the weekends. And for the TV viewer, you know, baseball is not really competing with something else, and basketball and hockey and football in the United States. Is that an interesting situation for soccer? Because you want people to watch the MLS games in the United States, but a lot of people are also watching these international games.
Yeah, I think it's all good for us. We still have a market that we haven't reached yet in our country, and we want to create a soccer nation, and that includes, I mean, I wake up on Saturday and Sunday mornings and watch the Premier League as well. I watch Mexican League games, and all of that comes together to create a nation that loves the sport of soccer, as the rest of the world does. And I think as that continues to grow and our league continues to get better and compete on the international stage, the momentum that we have behind the sport is something you don't get in other leagues. You don't get other leagues following results from around the world. So I believe that's a positive for us, and that we can continue to grow as the world's game continues to grow.
So we all saw the Sports Illustrated cover at the time. David Beckham was going to change the game for America. You know him from your days with the LA Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Was that a game changer? Was that the beginning of it?
No question. Not only just because of David, but everything that move meant. It got our league out of this notion that we had to keep this very small small salary cap and small things and small thinking. And we had a player that was one of the most famous people in the world at that time that decided to come and play in our league. And since that time, you've seen other players. You've seen Kaká, and you've seen Gerrard, and you've seen Lampard, big name players that have come to play in our league. And it's changing again. But that was really the beginning, where teams and clubs would spend significant money and see the result of that. Now what you're seeing is you're seeing clubs spend money on players that maybe you and I have never heard of, but they're quality players throughout the world. And so it's another step forward, but certainly most of that started with David.
All right, so does it happen in Los Angeles? You call your wife, the family are going out to a restaurant, you say, yeah, this is Chris Klein. Like, oh, really? We loved you in American Pie. You were great in that. What was the movie, Election? Yeah.
That's right.
Does that name get you jammed up in a good way or a bad way ever in L.A.?
Not anymore. but one of my first games, I was back when our league was in 1998, playing in Dallas, and in the Dallas paper actually thought that I was the actor.
Dating Katie Holmes.
That way. But since then, no. I think he's fallen off the radar, right. I guess, a little bit. I'm not sure.
So, and we joked about it at the beginning. You're the St. Louis guy living in L.A. Right, tell us what you like about it. The weather, I would think, would be number one. What don't you like? And give us an idea, living there, what it's like.
Yeah. I mean, we love it here. We do love the weather. And I think most of it, like anything else, when your family's there, that's where home is. And I love the company that I work for and the community that we're in, and building something, in a city like Los Angeles. We do miss the Midwest. My wife's from Minneapolis, and, so we do miss the Midwest and the people there. And, but we make it back, every so often to get our fixes of food and people and family.
Chris, thanks for hopping on. I'm sure we'll be talking throughout. We're about a month out for the vote here, and all indications are, if they get the stadium funding, that this thing could happen. I know that's not official, but Don Garber has been here, and that way maybe we'd see you more often. We're coming into town with the Galaxy.
I would love nothing more. I'm excited for it and hope the people get behind it in St. Louis.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Chris Klein, he is the president of the LA Galaxy, and again, played with David Beckham, living in LA. I did wonder when he was on hold if he thought we were having him on, just we were going to start with some Rams bashing, because we just kind of stumbled into that.
I feel like in sports talk radio in St. Louis, if you ever have an open segment or you need to kill like 2 to 3 minutes before the guest comes on, you can just rip on Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff. It always works.
But it's so timely. The Blues are desperate for a win. Who do they play?
The Lanch.
The Lanch. If you're in the NFL, your team's in the tank. They need a win. Who should they play?
The Rams.
The Rams. It's just, and I don't know enough about Arsenal to know whether that's, I don't think, they're not a bad franchise, right? They're a frustrating franchise. I think that's what the soccer people would
say. Let me tell you what I know about Arsenal here.
Yeah, break it down, Chuck. You were there. You went to London with the
Not much.
You went to London with Kroenke.
That was
You're part of the problem. 2012. You and Andy Banker.
Great time.
You went over there as a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Merely to cover the events. Soccer related, by the way. And I was tweeting this out, and I realized Jim Thomas has already tweeted it. So they'll say, oh, you poached that from Jim. I got a text about a half hour ago that said you can go with it. Isaac Bruce is going to be part of the ownership group. Now, what capacity, I don't know. They've been talking to him for months and trying to work out the deal. Then I think they got busy with all their campaigning, and then they sat down. I know he had a meeting with Dave Peacock a few months ago and just said, hey, would it make sense from a business standpoint? Would you like to be part of it? And I think for Isaac, it was a couple of things. He likes his St. Louis connection. He likes this city. And he's a businessman. And he said, hey, if it makes sense, I'll get on board. It doesn't hurt. I don't know if Chris Long is coming on board. That was another one. They had talked to him, and he had mentioned it. But the Isaac thing is official. He will be part of the ownership group, which it doesn't hurt, again.
I also have a Chris Klein story.
The actor?
Chris Klein, the actor from American Pie.
Who has to be similar in age, right? So our guy that we just had, our guy.
He was born in, what, 76?
He's 41.
Yeah,
the
Chris
actor
Klein.
Guy is probably 40. And I
think American Pie came out in about, 98-ish?
97, 98.
So they're probably the same. But in the year 2000, to take a Conan O'Brien segment, but Chris Klein was dating Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes is from Toledo, Ohio.
All goes back 2 degrees of Toledo.
All I'm saying is I was a high school senior, went with some friends to watch the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson. And as we're walking out of the theater in Toledo, who do we walk by? They had got to the theater late. They didn't want to be seen. They were in the last row, Katie Holmes and Chris Klein, watching the movie. So I went to a movie with Katie Holmes.
And Chris Klein.
But I can tell
you
people,
probably highlight
and it's not a lie, I went to a movie
with Katie Holmes. 2 degrees of Toledo, a game that we could play with Charlie Marlowe on the program. Got to get to the grinder, too. Gardner's Grinder coming up 2 o'clock hour. Then the line change comes your way at 3 o'clock. Midday Grind here, day 11 of this program.
Chris Klein, 37 years old.
The actor?
Correct.
So our guy, Chris Klein, kind of looks like him.
I have to see a picture.
Well, that would help. That would probably help. And everything in L.A., B-Shave, it's about 20 minutes. Anywhere you are in L.A., it's about 20 minutes.
Oh, shut up.
Midday Grind on 590 The Fan.